This is Leo for actualized.org, and we are going to talk about how to feel happy. All right, it's going to be a practical, quick self-help segment where I tell you in about 8 or 10 points what you really need to know to get sustainable happiness in your life. And here's the challenge, is that most of us do not really understand what it takes to be happy, not on a deep level. Most of us are out there chasing the wrong things because happiness is a counterintuitive concept. So let's get into it. I'm going to give you some key points. By doing a lot of research, I've discovered these points. I think you're going to really like them. All right, so number one is gratitude. Studies have actually been done on this, and gratitude is a really great technique for creating sustainable happiness. And the most practical way to practice gratitude is to actually have a gratitude journal and spend 5 minutes every morning doing this consistently every morning, just for 5 minutes, jotting down the 5 or 10 things that you are grateful for in your life. And this could be something that you're grateful for that happened to you years ago, like your parents or your college education, or something you are grateful for just that happened to you today or the other day. Small things. So it can be big things and small things. Because here's the thing, is that human beings have this tendency called hedonic adaptation, which means that it's hard for us to become happy because any external change in our life, like let's say you find $1,000 tomorrow in your car, right? Just randomly showed up, $1,000. Well, you're going to feel thrilled in the moment, but then after a while, a week from that point, you're not really going to feel that happiness anymore because you've kind of adapted to that difference. Human beings are really good at adapting to either positive changes in circumstances or even negative ones. So there have been many studies done on this from lottery winners to paraplegics, and they've actually done studies and they compared happiness levels between people that have won millions of dollars for free and people that have become crippled. And they've compared, and what they've discovered is that after about a year, the happiness level returns to about where it was. So gratitude is a great way to turn this tide. It's thinking about the things that you are really appreciative of, being more appreciative of all the good things in your life. And happiness is really kind of a mind game. You want to start shifting your focus from all the negative things that you're thinking about to all the positive things that are in your life, right? Are you grateful for the country you live in? How often do you think about that? Are you grateful for the city that you're in? Are you grateful for the family that you were raised in? Are you grateful for the friends you have? Are you grateful for the fact that you can pay your bills? Are you grateful for the fact that you have food? Are you grateful for the fact that you have your boyfriend or girlfriend? What are you grateful for? Take stock of those things. If you've never done this exercise, you'll discover some amazing things when you actually sit down and do it and force your mind to go back and think about this stuff consciously and articulate it. So that's a really good strategy. Okay, the next one is optimism. Be more optimistic. And here, this is not an abstract concept. There's actually a practical way to be more optimistic. By optimism, what I found one of the best exercises to do is to do a little bit of journaling. Again, you can do a 5-minute exercise in the morning, is sit down and ask yourself, what am I doing in the next year that I can be excited about? What am I doing over the next week that I can get excited about? What am I doing over the next 5 years that I can get excited about? So it can happen on the micro scale from what are you doing today to what are you doing in a week to the macro scale of what are you doing in 5 years, what are you doing in 10 years. It's about setting a positive expectation for your future. When you feel good about your future, you're going to get engaged. You're going to feel happy. And you can do this in the morning with your journal, or you can do it when you're in the shower or throughout your day when you're sitting in traffic or standing in a line waiting for your Starbucks Frappuccino, you know. Just think about, what are you excited about? And as you're doing that, you're actually going to be setting some goals too, because setting goals is actually a point lower down on the list that I'm going to get to in a second. So building that level of optimism is a great way to feel happier. The next point, stop overthinking. So many of us are just always thinking. Some of us more than others, but if you tend to be the kind of person whose mind is always spinning, always running, you got to really watch out for that. Sometimes you're going to overanalyze situations way too much. You're going to get too much in your head, and you're not going to be connected with your body. You're not going to be in the present moment. You're going to be either worrying about the past or you're going to be worrying about the future. And happiness is all about being in the present. So you got to calm your mind down. You got to stop that. Because chances are, if you're thinking about something and you're thinking a lot, you're not thinking about it in a positive way, chances are you're thinking about it in a negative way. You're having these automatic negative thoughts, and you're having just these storms of negative thoughts and negative debates and arguments in your mind. And that does not make you fulfilled. You've got to cut that out. And good ways to cut that out is through various techniques, from journaling to visualizations to doing therapy to doing meditation. So there's many different ways that you can try to stop overthinking. Okay, the next point is eliminate addictions. I find that addictions really rob you of any chance of happiness in life. Because what an addiction does, and I'll define addiction in a second because it's a larger definition than you would initially think, but addictions are like band-aids over the unhappiness in life. So it's like a quick little patch that covers up the unhappiness in your life with a little hit of pleasure. But it's not a sustainable type of happiness, and ultimately it leaves you feeling very hollow and guilty. So by addictions, I mean things like obvious forms of addiction like drugs and alcohol and smoking, but then other more subtle forms of addictions. Addictions like television, compulsive shopping, you've got gambling, you've got sex, you've got gossip, you've got addictions to negative thinking, you've got addictions to the internet. So these things, these are like compulsive behaviors that you're doing. They are destroying your life. And if you have an addiction, then you know that up and down like guilt cycle, that roller coaster that you're on. It's not ultimately fulfilling. It's not pleasant at all. Even though that food, for example, which I forgot to mention, food is a huge, huge, huge point of addiction, and one that I personally had to get over, is when you're addicted to food, for example, what happens is that you've got a negative day at work, and then you come back home from work, and you just want to splurge on some food because that food gives you a hit of pleasure to mask the crappy day they had at work. And so even though it masks it, it doesn't really give you happiness. So what you want to do is you got to unhook yourself from these addictions. And to do that, you need to do some work. First of all, identify what your addictions are, be honest about them, and then start to wean yourself off of them. And the best way I found to get yourself off of an addiction is, first of all, create a very strong reason for why you're doing that. And for me, the reason would be that I don't want to have any monkeys on my back, and I want to live a really powerful type of life, and I can't do that when I have addictions. But then the other reason, and health might be a very important reason too, a lot of these addictions create bad health, such as smoking and food. But the other reason that you want to get rid of the addiction is so that you've got this happiness, right? This fulfillment that comes when you're not addicted to anything. It's amazing. And the other point that I wanted to make about how to wean yourself off addictions is create something positive to replace the addiction. Don't just stop overeating. Don't just stop smoking. Replace that with a positive habit. So maybe now instead of smoking, you do a little bit of jogging. Maybe now instead of overeating, you do a little bit of writing. Replace it with something positive. All right, the next point is build relationships. Relationships, because humans, even the most introverted of us, are very social creatures, are a deep and fulfilling source of happiness. In fact, in cultures that are not very materially successful, but that have rich family connections and rich social connections, people are very, very happy. So happiness levels in certain countries that you would think should be low because they're poverty stricken are actually very high because they have a more interconnected society. People are more plugged in. And especially in the West, in America, we tend to be disconnected. We tend to have those more shallow Facebook relationships rather than those more personal face-to-face relationships. So the key here is not quantity, but quality. Develop a few, maybe five at most, really deep, high-quality relationships. Focus on those, invest time and energy into those, and avoid the shallow relationships, which just tend to make you overwhelmed and distracted and don't really contribute much in terms of happiness to your life. Next is the point of savoring life's joys. So this is a really interesting one, and I found this one to be really powerful for me, is that I'm always so rushed, and all of us are so frantic, and we're living this 24-hour a day life, but we're living it as though we are on a 27-hour cycle, right? So we're always frantic and frazzled and running around and doing things like a chicken with its head cut off. And so in doing that, we forget to slow down and savor the good things that are already part of our lives. And these are usually mundane things. For me, for example, it's just enjoying a meal. A lot of times I'm so busy, I'll just scoff down a meal, I won't enjoy it. But when I'm following this principle of savoring life's joys, I'll remember and I'll say, you know what, I'm just gonna calm down, give myself 5 minutes to really enjoy this nice meal I cooked for myself. And when I do that, I feel good. It's happiness. And then if I remember to do that every day, and I have 2 or 3 meals a day, that's 2 or 3 moments in my life very consistently that I'm feeling much, much happier. And this goes apply, you know, this concept applies not just to meals, but it applies to all the people in your life that you love, applies to your family, to your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. This applies to nature. Appreciate nature a little bit more. When you're on your drive to work in the morning, appreciate the sunset. When you're on your drive from work back home, appreciate, I mean, the sunrise when you're coming to work from home, and then the sunset when you're coming from work to home. So appreciate that. Appreciate nature. Appreciate all the little things. Appreciate all the marvels that we have in our life, and just like savor that. Savor that. Enjoy it. Don't just rush through everything. Next is meditation. Meditation is a really effective technique if you develop a habit of it every day. I like to meditate for at least 20 minutes every morning. If you develop that habit, then you're going to calm your mind. You're going to quiet those automatic negative thoughts. You're going to become peaceful. You're going to stop worrying about the past. Stop worrying about the future, and you're just going to become very calm and centered and grounded. And that's going to spill over beyond those 20 minutes of meditation into your whole day and will improve your whole life. So meditation is a very awesome habit to develop, and I have other videos about exactly how to do that. The next point is flow. Flow is the state of being in the moment, in the zone, being fully engaged and fully focused, so absorbed in an activity that you're not thinking about anything else and you're not self-conscious anymore. This type of state is entered into usually when you're doing something that is fairly challenging, but that also matches your skill level. So if your skill level is high and the thing you're doing is challenging, then you're able to put your creative energy into it and you're able to reach a state of total absorption. So this might happen when you're playing a musical instrument. This might happen when you're playing a sport, or this might happen when you're really pushing yourself at the gym. It might happen when you're at work, when you're working on a project that you're really passionate about. Maybe it happens when you're writing. Maybe it happens when you're out there giving a speech or a presentation, right? You're totally in the zone. And you want to create more of these flow state experiences. How do you do that? 2 points. One is stop multitasking. Give yourself time to focus. Eliminate distractions. Give yourself at least 1 or 2 hours, chunks of time of 1 or 2 hours where you can just totally be absorbed in something. Because every time you're interrupted, you lose your state of flow. So you want to be able to focus without interruptions. And second is develop proficiency in something. Have something in your life that you're trying to master. Have a technical expertise that you're developing. Because as you develop technical expertise, it becomes easier to get into flow. If you try and you've never played the guitar and you try to go play the guitar right now, you're not going to be in flow because you don't know how to play. You don't have enough expertise. Once you get really good at playing the guitar in a couple of years, then you're going to really enjoy it and you're going to enter a flow state when you're playing even a complicated song because you've got the skill level to match. So make sure there's something that you're mastering in your life. And lastly, the point is going to be goals and life purpose. Have some goals in your life. Set some big and ambitious goals. The human organism, the human mind, is a goal-seeking machine, really. We are designed to seek goals, whether it's at work, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's a big goal that's going to only be accomplished a year down the road, or a little goal that's going to be accomplished tomorrow. We are goal-oriented creatures. So have goals that you're constantly setting and revising for yourself. And then, even more importantly, have a life purpose. Have something that your life is about that's outside yourself, that you're having some sort of impact in. This is probably going to be related to your career. Have a career that you're really passionate about and that you are doing something positive with, something that's really meaningful to you. Ask yourself, what is the most meaningful thing in life? And then make sure that your career is aligned with that. When you have that in place, you're going to be very, very happy. All right, I'm going to be signing off. Go ahead, leave me your comments. I'd love to hear from you guys. And please like this and share this. And of course, if you like these ideas and you want more about how to feel happy, because I really just glossed over all these points and there are many more points to feeling happy in your life, check out actualize.org, where I really cover the topic of happiness and success and human fulfillment and how to master your emotions and the psychology of all this stuff so that you get this handled once and for all in your life. All right, so check that out. We've got a lot of exclusive content there for free, and also you can sign up to the newsletter.